This is an analysis of Palo Alto Networks' earnings release. Yeah, you've got the press releases, you've got the CEO interviews, you've got the presentation slides.
It's a lot.
And you probably just want the need to know, right? That's what we're here for.
100%.
So we're doing a deep dive into all of that, extracting the nuggets of gold from Palo Alto Networks' Q1 2025 earnings release.
Yeah.
Palo Alto Networks is a giant in the cybersecurity world.
It's huge.
And their performance can really kind of give us a signal about how the industry is doing as a whole.
Absolutely. And what's really fascinating to me is what these numbers tell us about the larger trends, you know, in cybersecurity and maybe where things are headed.
Okay, so right off the bat, what were some of the big headlines from this earnings release?
Well, the first thing that jumps out at me is the revenue growth. They had a 14% jump year over year to land at $2.1 billion, which is, you know, quite significant, especially in this kind of economic climate that we're in.
14%, that's a big jump.
It's a big jump.
Yeah. And what about earnings per share? I mean, that's what a lot of investors really focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. And they didn't disappoint there either. Non-GAAP earnings per share hit $1.56, which beat analyst expectations pretty handily. So, you know, if you're watching Palo Alto Networks, whether you're an investor or just interested in the cybersecurity space, it's good news so far.
So definitely positive signs so far.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the future. What is Palo Alto Networks forecasting for the rest of the year?
Well, they've actually raised their guidance for both Q2 of 2025 and the full fiscal year. They're projecting continued revenue growth between 12 and 14% for next quarter, and then a solid 14% for the full year. Non-GAAP earnings per share are also expected to increase.
So they're feeling pretty good about the future, huh?
They seem to be.
Yeah, and that upward revision of guidance, I think, is really interesting because I remember they initially projected 34 to 36% growth in next generation security annual recurring revenue.
Yeah, NGSARR.
NGSARR for those keeping score at home, but they've since bumped that up, right?
They have. They're now expecting NGSARR growth of 35 to 36% in Q2 and 31 to 32% for the full year, which is a really key detail because NGSARR represents the revenue stream from, you know, those newer platform-based security products that they're offering. So that upward revision, I think, signals a lot of confidence in how those newer offerings are performing.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me think we need to talk about this platformization strategy that seems to be all the buzz.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember even in the CEO interview, there's a great anecdote where Nikesh Arora was debating with a board member about which acquisition was going to be more impactful, you know, the IBM deal or the Prisma Access browser. And
yeah.
It sounds like they're putting a lot of eggs in this platformization basket.
Well, it's definitely a core part of their strategy, and it's not just a buzzword either. You know, they're aiming to provide this single integrated platform for all of their customers' security needs, you know, instead of having a bunch of different products.
Right. So instead of having like 12 different security tools from 12 different vendors,
right,
you could have one from Palo Alto Networks that does it all. That sounds pretty appealing, I would think.
And the numbers actually back that up. You know, Palo Alto Networks saw a 6% increase in NGSARR per platformized customer in Q1 of 2025 compared to the average for the full fiscal year 2024. So that tells you that they're attracting customers who are buying into this platform approach.
Okay, so we've got this big push toward platformization, but what's actually driving it? Is it just a matter of, you know, simplifying things for customers, or are there some deeper forces at play here?
Well, yeah, simplifying the customer experience is definitely part of it, but it's not the whole story. You know, the earnings presentation kind of highlighted some other key drivers, for example. You know, the cybersecurity landscape is just becoming more and more complex, and companies are really looking for solutions that can kind of keep pace with that.
It's like you're trying to fight a multi-headed hydra.
Yeah.
You need a weapon that can deal with all the threats at once.
Exactly. And a single platform can really offer that kind of comprehensive protection. And then there's the financial aspect. You know, Palo Alto Networks is seeing a lot of success with large platform deals. Like they had this massive $50 million SOC transformation deal with a tech firm. And more customers are choosing to consolidate their security needs onto a single platform, you know, which leads to larger deal sizes and more predictable revenue streams for Palo Alto Networks.
So it's more than just hype. It's a trend that's got some real momentum behind it, driven by a real need for better security and operational efficiency.
Absolutely.
But here's something I found kind of surprising: the strong performance of their firewall business.
Oh, yeah.
I thought firewalls were becoming a little bit obsolete in this age of cloud computing.
It's interesting, isn't it? Arora himself said in the interview that he was a little bit surprised by the uptick in firewall sales.
So what's driving this firewall renaissance, as some are calling it?
Well, one thing is that a lot of companies are in the middle of what are called refresh cycles. So they're replacing those older firewalls with newer, more advanced models.
Right. And those newer models can better integrate with the cloud environment, right?
Exactly. They've got more sophisticated features, and they really align well with this trend towards platformization, mm-hmm. right? Palo Alto Networks is really well positioned to benefit from this because their next generation firewalls are designed to be a core component of that broader security platform.
And Aurora mentioned in his interview that Palo Alto Networks is consistently gaining market share in the firewall space.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because it's not like that's a stagnant market, is it?
No, it's actually a pretty healthy market. It's growing at a steady 5 to 8% annually, and Palo Alto Networks is consistently outperforming the competition within that growth.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, now I know we need to talk about the IBM deal, which generated a lot of buzz when it was first announced.
Sure.
But before we jump into that, is there anything else about the earnings release that you think is really key for our listeners to know? Or are we ready to?
I think that's a great place to leave, and then we can jump into the IBM deal in the next part.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think we've covered the main points from the earnings release itself. You know, that strong revenue and earnings, the raised guidance, the focus on platformization.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's definitely some interesting color, I think, from the CEO interview and the earnings call that kind of sheds more light on their strategy and performance.
Okay, perfect. So let's dig into some of that color then. You mentioned the IBM deal. We need to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a lot of hype around that when it was first announced.
There was.
But is it actually living up to expectations?
Well, from what we heard in the earnings call and the CEO's interview, it seems like it's actually exceeding expectations. I mean, they closed over $80 million in bookings from that deal just in Q1.
Wow, $80 million. That's not nothing.
It's not nothing. And it gets even better. They've also developed a $1 billion pipeline of potential future business through the partnership.
Wow.
And they've already acquired over 550 new customers through the IBM deal. So, I mean, those are some pretty impressive numbers.
That's a lot of new business in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the IBM deal is proving to be a pretty smart strategic move for Palo Alto Networks. But what's the secret sauce like? What's making it so successful?
Well, I think a big part of it is how well it aligns with their broader platformization strategy.
Okay.
You know, this partnership really strengthens their position in the security operations market, which is, you know, a key area for growth. And through this deal, they're able to offer this, you know, much more complete platform for managing and responding to security threats, which is something that, you know, large enterprises are increasingly demanding.
So it's not just about, you know, selling a product. It's about providing this really comprehensive solution to this complex problem.
Exactly. They're addressing a real need in the market.
Mm.
And speaking of addressing needs, we should probably touch on the stock split.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Palo Alto Networks recently announced a 2-for-1 stock split. And while a stock split, you know, doesn't directly change the company's value,
right,
it's often seen as a, you know, vote of confidence by the company.
I've always been a little bit confused by stock splits.
Sure.
Can you explain kind of why a company might choose to do a stock split and what it might signal to the market?
Sure. So essentially, a stock split increases the number of outstanding shares of a company's stock.
Okay.
While proportionally reducing the price per share.
Mm-hmm.
So the overall value of the company stays the same.
Right.
But, you know, each individual share becomes more affordable. So this can make the stock more accessible to a wider range of investors, you know, maybe potentially broadening the investor base and boosting demand for the stock.
So it's kind of a way to make this stock more attractive to smaller investors.
Yeah.
Without actually changing the fundamental value of the company.
Exactly. And in the case of Palo Alto Networks, I think this stock split is a way for them to signal confidence in their continued growth trajectory. You know, it suggests that they believe the stock price will continue to rise. So it's, you know, beneficial for investors to buy in now, even at a lower price per share.
Okay.
But, you know, beyond just the financials, the CEO interview, I thought, had some really interesting insights into the broader cybersecurity landscape. He talked a lot about the importance of the CNAPP market, for instance.
CNAPP. Remind me what that stands for and why it's so important.
Right. Of course, CNAPP stands for Cloud Native Application Protection Platform.
Okay.
So essentially, it's about securing, you know, applications and data that are built and run in cloud environments.
Right.
And as more and more companies migrate their operations to the cloud, the need for effective CNAPP solutions becomes absolutely critical.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not enough to just protect the perimeter of your network anymore.
No.
When so much critical data and functionality resides in the cloud.
Exactly. And Aurora actually described this market as going through a next cycle, where cloud detection and response and security operation centers in the cloud are becoming increasingly vital. So it's not just about basic cloud security anymore. It's about having the tools and capabilities to, detect, analyze, and respond to, really sophisticated threats in real time within those cloud environments.
And this seems like an area where Palo Alto Networks is particularly well positioned, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. They've been investing heavily in cloud security, and their Prisma Cloud and Cortex offerings are considered, I think, among the leading solutions in the market. Aurora even mentioned that their cloud detection and response business has grown tenfold in the past year alone.
Wow, tenfold.
So that kind of growth really speaks for itself.
That's amazing. It seems like they're really capitalizing on this increasing demand for these really robust cloud security solutions. But it's not just about the technology itself, right? I mean, there's also the human element to consider. How are they addressing the need for education and awareness among their customers?
Yeah, that's a crucial point. Even the most advanced security technology is useless if people don't know how to use it effectively or understand, the threats that they're facing. And to their credit, Palo Alto Networks is, actively engaging with customers to educate them on best practices, help them navigate, the complexities of cloud security. So they're providing not just the tools, but also the knowledge and the support that's necessary to actually implement, effective security strategies.
So it's this holistic approach, combining the cutting-edge technology with that kind of proactive customer education.
Exactly.
I like that. Now, before you move on to, other aspects of the cybersecurity landscape, I'm curious to hear a little bit more about what Aurora had to say about the government business, particularly the Department of Defense contract.
That's a big one. His insights on this I thought were particularly interesting. He acknowledged the challenges of working with the government, noting that they often have a lot of legacy infrastructure that needs to be modernized.
Government agencies are notorious for lagging behind a little bit when it comes to technology.
Yeah, they can be a bit slow to adopt the latest and greatest.
Yeah.
But, he also seemed optimistic about the potential for growth in this sector. He believes that the current administration's emphasis on technology and efficiency will drive, increased investment in cybersecurity, particularly within the DoD. He even used this rather intriguing phrase, high standard deviation decisions, to kind of describe the potential for big changes and opportunities in this market.
High standard deviation decisions.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting, but also a little bit unpredictable.
It does, doesn't it? It suggests that there's a lot of potential upside, but also, a fair amount of risk and uncertainty inherent in government contracts. It's a high stakes game for sure.
So while Palo Alto Networks is well positioned to compete for this, very lucrative government business, there are no guarantees.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Absolutely. And I think, it highlights the importance of adaptability and agility in the cybersecurity market. This landscape is constantly shifting, and companies need to be able to adjust their strategies and their offerings to meet, the evolving needs of their customers, whether they're in the public or the private sector.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. The financial performance, the platformization strategy, the cloud security focus, the IBM deal, the stock split, the government contract.
Yeah.
It's clear that Palo Alto Networks is operating at the forefront of a very rapidly evolving industry.
They are, and I think their success stems from their ability to not just react to changes in the threat landscape, but to actually anticipate them and proactively develop solutions that meet, those future challenges.
It's like they're playing chess, always thinking, several moves ahead of their opponents.
Yeah.
But as we've discussed, cybersecurity isn't just about technology.
No.
It's also about people. It's about protecting individuals and organizations from these very real threats that exist in the digital world.
That's a crucial point to remember, and I think it's something that Palo Alto Networks understands. They're not just building security products, they're building a culture of, security awareness and responsibility.
It's about empowering people to make informed decisions and take proactive steps to protect themselves and their data.
Exactly. And I think that's a message that resonates with everyone, whether you're a tech savvy professional or someone who's just starting to learn about the importance of cybersecurity. It's about making security accessible and understandable for everyone. Now, with all this talk about technology and strategy, I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts on this firewall renaissance that we touched on earlier, you know? It seems kind of counterintuitive that firewalls would be experiencing a resurgence in the age of cloud computing. Why do you think that is?
It is a bit of a head scratcher, isn't it? You think with everyone moving to the cloud, firewalls would be going the way of the dodo.
Yeah, you'd think so, but as with many things in tech, it's a little more nuanced than that. I think what Aurora was getting at in his interview is that we're not seeing the decline of firewalls, but rather the evolution of them. You know, those traditional firewalls are being replaced by next generation firewalls that offer much more advanced capabilities and integrate seamlessly with those cloud environments.
So it's not that firewalls are back, it's more like they leveled up.
Exactly. They're no longer just about blocking traffic at the network perimeter. You know, they're becoming this key part of that comprehensive security platform that we were talking about earlier. You know, next-gen firewalls, they can analyze data, they can identify threats in real time, they can even automate responses.
So they're like the brains of the operation, constantly monitoring and adapting to the changing threat landscape.
That's a great way to put it. And this is where I think Palo Alto Networks really has an advantage. You know, their next generation firewalls are designed to work in concert with all of their other security offerings, creating this truly unified defense system.
It's like a security symphony with the firewall playing a very crucial role in the overall composition.
I like that analogy. It really captures the idea, you know, that effective cybersecurity is no longer about these isolated solutions. You know, it's about creating that harmonious whole where all the pieces are working together to achieve this common goal.
And that goal is, of course, to protect organizations from these increasingly, sophisticated and persistent cyber threats.
Exactly. And as we've seen, Palo Alto Networks seems really well positioned to lead the charge in this evolving security landscape. You know, they're combining that strong focus on innovation with, you know, really deep understanding of the threats that their customers are facing.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Palo Alto Networks' earnings release and all of these broader cybersecurity trends, let's recap some key takeaways for our listeners.
Okay, sounds good. What do you think? So first and foremost, you know, I think we learned that platformization is more than just a buzzword. It's really a fundamental shift in how organizations are approaching cybersecurity. And Palo Alto Networks is clearly at the forefront of this trend with their comprehensive platform that can address, you know, a really wide range of security needs.
And it's not just about having a bunch of tools. It's about having those tools work together seamlessly
Exactly.
to create that more robust and effective security posture.
I think our second big takeaway is that the cloud security market is experiencing just explosive growth, you know, and Palo Alto Networks is capitalizing on this growth with its Prisma Cloud and Cortex offerings. As more businesses migrate to the cloud, this demand for these cloud security solutions is only going to increase.
And that leads nicely into our third takeaway, which is that emerging technologies like artificial intelligence, are playing an increasingly important role in cybersecurity.
Absolutely.
But, that presents both opportunities and risks.
Exactly. AI can be used to enhance security, but it can also be exploited by attackers to create, you know, more sophisticated threats. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. But, you know, Palo Alto Networks seems to be taking this challenge very seriously. They're actively working to mitigate the risk by, you know, building security into these technologies from the ground up.
And finally, I think we discussed the importance of collaboration in the cybersecurity space.
Yeah.
We can't operate in silos anymore.
No.
We need to be sharing information,
Yeah.
best practices, threat intelligence to stay ahead of the bad guys.
Absolutely. It's a collective effort. You know, we all have a role to play in making the digital world a safer place. I think, you know, this deep dive has given us a really good glimpse into the current state of cybersecurity and the trends that are shaping its future.
But remember, the journey doesn't end here. Stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay engaged in the conversation about cybersecurity because it's a conversation that affects all of us.
Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into this fascinating world of technology and, you know, its impact on our lives.